is Bloomberg Surveillance.
We've been in an economic expansion for a while, but nobody feels good about it because the median income is actually contracting, not rising.
How does the UK finance its current account, its trade deficit, when its interest rate premium obviously is collapsing?
I think what we really do need to push dollar yen above 105, if it were to hold there, would be a rate hike from the US.
Bloomberg Surveillance, your link to the world of economics, finance, and investment on Bloomberg Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Michael McKee and Tom Keene worldwide. Bloomberg Surveillance. Good morning, Bloomberg 1200 Boston. A brawl last night. Dreaded Yankees, Red Sox. Red Sox did better than good. Barry, I exaggerate. It was not a brawl. It was a dust-up, ESPN said. A dust-up. I don't know where Ortiz and A-Rod were within the dust-up, but they had a dust-up. We have a great hour for you. Economics, finance, investment, international relations. We're going to look at productivity. What a stunning report. What a disappointing report yesterday. We'll get to that in a moment. Bloomberg Surveillance this morning brought to you by Cohn Resnick Accounting Tax Advisory. Look ahead, gain insight, imagine more. The professionals at Cohn Resnick can help your business break through. Find out more at CohnResnick.com. CohnResnick, CohnResnick.com. Market's churning. It's got an August feel. Volumes are down. Gina Martin Adams at Wells Fargo, adamant that it's just summer volumes. But nevertheless, a lot going on, which is a good time to speak to Paul Mortimer Lee, BNP Paribas economist, chief economist, senior vice president, total failure productivity. That's my phrase for the day. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Total factor productivity. I've been labeling it total failure productivity because of the seven-year chronic nature of our decline in productivity. Let's back up to jargon. What is total factor productivity?
Well, it's the productivity of labor and capital put together, basically. So it's not just labor productivity. It also measures the productivity of capital. It's kind of average of the two. And it's been on a declining trend, not just in the U.S., but everywhere. And that's very concerning because at the end of the day, if we're at full employment, then basically all the growth is going to come from increased productivity, and there's not much of it about.
So the question I have to ask everybody about the productivity stats
is... It's a good question, too. I know where you're going.
Is how much of this is an actual decrease in genuine productivity, and how much of this is just an ongoing, decade-long problem with actually capturing gains in productivity in the official data?
Well, I think there are a lot of people who suspect that productivity is not measured properly, in which case output's a lot higher than we think it is. There have been a number of studies that have looked at this and actually concluded that the miss on this is really rather small on the GDP front. Mm-hmm. Could be 0.1 or 0.2% off growth each year, but not very big. Because although there's a lot of things that are going on at the margins in terms of tech, in fact, there are a lot of jobs that, there's not much technical progress, like haircutting or, stuff like that. And that's a big bulk of the economy. So I think there's something in the story, but I suspect it's overplayed. And I think there is a genuine slowdown in productivity.
The genuine slowdown, I put the equation up on Bloomberg TV today. Thank you to my team for putting up with the mathiness of it. Let's go Cobb Douglas, Paul Mortimer Lee. The idea here of capital dynamics, labor dynamics, and that strange thing, TFP, total factor productivity. Let's start with capital deepening. Do we have a capital shortage now because we spent so much on capital before, or even worse, we're spending it on capital sent abroad?
Well, I think, when the trend rate of growth of population falls, which it has, then the share of capital in GDP will go down, and it has. I think there is a question about people sending capital abroad. That's certainly the case. And I think people are very cautious about investing because we're still, almost at zero rates. And if you invest a lot in capital stock, and then there's a big downturn, it's going to be left gathering dust in the corner, so you don't do it.
Okay, so let's move from 60,000 feet productivity to the tactical of Jackson Hole. Does Janet Yellen have to signify a one-and-done rate increase to begin to normalize our distortion so that 18 quarters from now, you and I won't be talking about chronic productivity failure.
Well, you know, there's this theory that the Fed, by letting the economy run hot, can somehow raise productivity. I'm very dubious about that. I mean, one of the things that's calming productivity is that all over the world, soft monetary policy is keeping zombie companies in business when they should be reallocating resources elsewhere. It's just not the case that if you let the economy run hot, productivity is going to pick up. And I think this is a dangerous theory by the Fed that somehow monetary policy can improve the long-run functioning of the economy. I think that's complete rubbish, to be honest. You know, we've seen this a year ago where the participation rate will go up if unemployment goes down and the productive potential of the economy will be augmented. I'm sorry, but it hasn't happened. The participation rate and the unemployment rate are positively correlated, not negatively correlated. So it seems that the Fed wants to mess with the real economy and thinks it can influence longer-run outcomes. I just don't think that's the case.
Haven't the past 2 months shown a fairly robust uptick in participation rates? I mean, it's a long time coming, and this could just be statistical noise, but we're starting to see, at 4.9% unemployment, people coming back into the job market and companies being forced to raise wages if they want to hire people.
Well, we're seeing, in trend terms, abstracting from month-to-month fluctuations, mm-hmm. basically the participation rates stop falling, but it's not started going up. Yeah, wages are increasing. They're increasing by 2.6%, which is an interesting because if the Fed thinks that productivity's fallen, as the staff seem to think, to 0.8%, then the rate of wage increase that's consistent with the 2% inflation target is 2.8, and we're at 2.6. So, you know, lower productivity, if you look at wages, unit labor costs, and the implications of productivity, is not a reason to be soft on monetary policy. Far from it.
So I take it that you're less of a monetary policy can do anything beyond thawing a credit freeze, which only leaves us some form of fiscal stimulus. What should governments around the world be doing on the fiscal side?
Well, you know, in the U.S., we're virtually at full employment. And so fiscal policy, I think, is not going to have much traction, as monetary policy is not going to have much traction, because there aren't the spare resources to absorb. And the same is true in Japan, and that's why fiscal policy and monetary policy is not working in Japan. Fiscal policy in the U.S. could raise potential growth if it moved towards increased infrastructure investment. There'll be likely big increases in potential growth and in productivity that would enable us to consume and invest more in the future. I think that'd be good. Elsewhere, Europe is clearly in need of fiscal policy action. The problem is those who want to do it can't afford to, like Italy, and those who can afford to don't want to, like Germany.
When we look at this, Paul, and you get a major shout-out to Ted Weissman at Morgan Stanley for his work yesterday on this, the productivity analysis all falls back to labor dynamics. I guess we have a good labor market, but is a lower unemployment rate now subtly a bad thing for us?
I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think we've got to be a bit cautious because, you know, the idea that we're not yet at full employment unemployment rate seems to be belied by the fact that wages are picking up, and that wages are picking up against the background of ultra-low inflation. So low unemployment would be a good thing, particularly if we improve the functioning of the labor market, if we increase the skills of those that are unemployed and can't get jobs. But low unemployment just by stoking demand, I think, might be quite dangerous.
What about some changes in the immigration rules to allow, Silicon Valley has been screaming.
Yeah,
they have a demand for sophisticated engineers,
software
programmers.
Come on, Barry, with the debate that we've got right now, is that even feasible?
You would hope that Silicon Valley would resonate with some members of Congress, and certainly both candidates have made lip service towards allowing skilled workers in. You tell me.
Okay, we'll come back. Paul Mortimer Lee with us with BNP Paribas. Quite thrilled that he's with us today. We've really had a lot of fun with this. Productivity is a whole set of math. Again, I can't say enough, the adult math-based primer is a textbook, and it's a thin textbook. You can read it like a book. Chad Jones, it's Stanford. He's out with a third edition. My copy is the second edition. The Economics of Growth. When it came out as a first edition, I think Chad was like 15 when he wrote it. Robert Solow gave it a truly rave reviews. I can't say enough, Chad Jones' work at Stanford on our economic growth. Futures up 2, Dow futures up 11. They yield 1.53%.
It's 8:10 on Wall Street. This news update being brought to you by Volvo Cars White Plains. Visit VolvoCarsWhitePlains.com. Let's get news from around the world. And here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Delta Airlines says it will cancel more than 150 flights today. It is the fallout from Monday's computer meltdown that has now scrapped more than 1,800 Delta flights. Hillary Clinton is still maintaining her bounce from the Democratic National Convention. A new Bloomberg poll shows Clinton leading 50% to Donald Trump at 44% in the two-way race. At the Rio Olympics, U.S. swimmer Michael Phelps won 2 more gold medals to make a total of 21 golds in his trophy case. Phelps won by swimming the anchor leg of the 4x200-meter relay and the 200-meter butterfly. U.S. swimmer Katie Ledecky took the gold for winning the 200-meter freestyle. The U.S. women's gymnastics team also struck gold yesterday. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, gentlemen.
And Michael, thanks so much. That grinding continues on yen. Stronger yen, 101.11. Barry Ritholtz and Tom Keene, this is Bloomberg. The mystery of productivity, the reality of Fed policy, Yellen. At Jackson Hole in a matter of days, Janet Yellen on A Better America. Next.
Balance continues.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are little change to higher. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Karen. U.S. futures remain quiet today, with Dow futures currently higher by 11 points, S&P's gained 2, and Nasdaq futures rise by 5.5. The U.S. 10 yield at 1.53%. Asian markets were mixed overnight, while European markets are also trading mixed today. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 10:30, energy inventory numbers and a 2 p.m. monthly budget statement. After the bell last night, Fossil and Disney beat. SunPower reported is down 29% pre-market after its results. Look for the solar names to be under pressure this morning. And Yelp raised year views. Regarding earnings today, Perrigo cut its forecast. Its shares are down 12% pre-market, while Michael Kors Q1 comp sales and Q2 views missed estimates and Ralph Lauren beat. In deal news, Abbott says Alere denied key access, is not sure if the deal will close. Finally, some of your Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. General Dynamics raised outperform over at Bernstein. SunPower cuts a hole versus buy at Deutsche Bank and cut to neutral over at JP Morgan. Wayfair cut to neutral at Goldman Sachs. Disney raised outperform over at Macquarie. And Jacobs Engineering cut to neutral over at UBS. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen.
Thanks, Bill. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. That's S-Q-U-A-W-K, Go. And that's the Bloomberg Business Flash. Tom and Barry.
Karen, thanks so much. Bloomberg Surveillance this morning brought to you by Invesco. Invesco believes it's time to bench the benchmarks to consider active management and factor-based strategies. Find out more at Invesco.com/high conviction. We are with Paul Mortimer Lee. Paul, I think BNP has been dead on with a quieter tone on economic growth. What is your view 12 months forward?
No, we've got growth at about trend, which we think is 1.5%. So we're more pessimistic than the Fed. The Fed has 2% potential growth, and I think
right. The
number of people in the market have higher than that.
So we're
pessimistic.
Is Janet Yellen at Jackson Hole going to suggest the dots come down?
Well, I think the dots are going to come down. Whether she, I mean, you know, we're in a process of the dots gradually coming down, a gradual capitulation by the Fed that says the terminal rate's lower than we expected before. And I don't think we've done with that. Is she going to suggest that a big ramp down? I doubt it. I think they'll continue to drift down.
Yeah, drift.
Down they're coming. And the market just doesn't believe that we're going to get anywhere near, you know, above 3%. You know, with the 10-year bond trading below 2, basically the market's saying, look, guys, you're going to be lucky to get to 2%.
So it's...
Barry, you've got a red button over there.
I had my coffee blocking that, and I apologize. So, and the coffee is more important than whatever I have to say. It's pretty clear the September before the November election is barring some craziness, not going to see that'll be a big nothing done. But December, is December legitimately on the table to see a quarter point, which would bring us to what? I don't even know where we are now, 50, 75?
Yeah, we're 25 to 50, so we're 50 to 75. We right. trade at towering 63. I'm not sure you can rule out September the way you're doing because of politics. I think it depends on the data. But, you know, if we get 200, we're going to have a 250,000 three-month average of payroll growth. And I think it's quite likely that the minutes suggest that the payroll growth that's consistent with stable labor utilization is something like 125, 150. So how can you ignore a three-month average of 250 that's nearly double your what PAR is for
okay.
this role?
Then what does compensation do within the productivity studies? My chart of the day today, and it's pretty moldy. Do you just assume at some point it rises?
Well, compensation is rising. You know, we see that in the Fed's favorite measure, the employment cost index, and in average hourly earnings. We're at cycle highs of about 2.5%. It's not very high. It's not high, but in real terms, it's 1.6. And productivity in the last 2 years in the economy as a whole has been about a quarter of a point. So, you know, this is one of the reasons that profits have been under pressure, that real wages are going up in this economy much faster than productivity. And that's not good long-term for growth prospects. And it's not good long-term for inflation prospects.
Paul, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Paul Mortimer-Lee this morning, BNP Paribas, again, with a cautious view of the market. One of the great things in this business is technology and the humility of using it, but also, like Barry, looking at the books, and you've been great about reading books. I mentioned Chad Jones' book on economic growth is the accessible Bible on productivity. I remember the day, Barry, where a football kicker, when Charles Gogolak came out of the office, yelled at me down the hall, can you come look at this machine? I don't know what to do with it. And it was a Bloomberg. This is a few years ago when it was a more fragile system with wires coming out of New York City to X number of thousands of people.
As Delta has learned, it's still technology is still somewhat fragile.
Today was a day where the world froze over 21 years ago. Tell us about it, Barry.
Sure. Well, that was a day when one Jerry Garcia, lead guitarist and really driving force of a small little combo called the Grateful Dead, passed on to the eternal encore.
It was sad. He was young.
He was relatively young for, I mean, the rock and roll lifestyle is pretty tough on a body, but I think he was somewhere in my age.
So the headline comes out in the Bloomberg as it would today.
Right.
And the whole thing
Jerry Garcia,
up.
Founder of Grateful Dead, dies at 54 or something. And that was pretty much it for the Bloomberg terminal.
And what's great about it, and good morning to all of you Delta employees worldwide, boy, was that a learning experience top to bottom at Bloomberg, and showed the power of the technology and also who had come out. Jerry Garcia, 21 years ago. Thanks to Business Insider for writing that up and respectfully enjoying the Bloomberg terminal. Here is my favorite, Dead. Good morning, Doug Cast. We'll be right back.
Surveillance brought to you by Land Rover. When towers seem like trees, roads become rivers, the Range Rover Evoque there to guide you through the twists and turns of the urban jungle. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.